Welcome to City Minutes. I'm Andrew Carter, and today I'm joined by my colleague Paul Swinney, and we're going to be talking about our latest briefing, Why Big Cities Are Crucial to Levelling Up. So Paul, what's the problem? Set it out for us.
A big issue in our area is that in places like France, Germany, the US, what we see is that as cities get bigger, they become more productive. That's to do with agglomeration, etc., which I'm sure our listeners are well versed in. But we don't see that pattern in the UK. What we see, if we look at productivity, measured by output per worker, sort of measure of labour productivity, as our cities get larger, they don't get more productive. And this has been a bit of a head-scratcher because people have said, oh, well, there you go, you know, agglomeration doesn't play out in the UK and a focus on big cities is wrong-headed. What we did, however, is say, well, actually, we probably need to change the way we measure the size of a city somewhat, because particularly if you're thinking about the Liverpools that businesses try and tap into, you know, people don't just live and work in the same city. Clearly, they're coming in from the broader area too. It's about that travel to work area, as we may call it, rather than just where the local authority boundary is for the city itself. Now, what's really interesting in this piece of work is that when we make an adjustment and stop measuring city size in terms of the number of people who live within the city itself, and then start to say, well, actually, how many people of working age live within a commutable distance of that city, all of a sudden this relationship changes, and we start to see a pattern that actually as cities get larger, they become more productive in the UK, as we see on the continent and as we see in the US too. So from this perspective, actually, the UK doesn't step out of line. Now, the question here is, well, what's changed in terms of looking at this? And this is really, really important, particularly for the levelling up agenda. What tends to happen is that our very small cities, so all of a sudden, perform much more like medium-sized cities when you measure them on this basis. So if we look at places like, say, Slough or Swindon or Milton Keynes that are very, very productive despite being very small, when you look at them just on a population basis, you see they sort of seem to outperform, so to speak. But when we then change the definition and look at this broader sort of commuting area perspective, what we start to see is actually while a place like Slough or Milton Keynes might actually be a smallish place, in terms of the benefits they're offering to businesses, actually the benefits they're offering are actually much more like, say, a medium-sized place because there are so many people living in and around them, particularly high-skilled people as well. And so on the chart, they sort of shift right and then fit on this sort of positive trend line that we see. And so that corrects for their so-called overperformance. What we don't see change, however, is the persistent underperformance of our big places. And this is where the UK really is out of line with other places, both on the continent and in the US. You know, places like Manchester and Birmingham and Glasgow should be performing much more like Munich and Dusseldorf, etc. You know, very, very big and very, very productive. We do not see that in the UK. And this is a really big challenge for UK economic policy.
So if policymakers are swayed by that argument, which they most definitely should be. If we begin to invest in and prioritise our big cities, what's the size of the prize?
Well, this is a really, really important point. You know, when you look at a scatter plot, let's say with the 62 cities that we look at in this analysis, you see one dot and it gets equal weighting to another dot because the dots are the same size. And so you think that, well, you know, trying to make an improvement in Manchester is akin to making an improvement in Mansfield because the dots are the same size. Of course, the reality is that clearly is not the case. So if we take a place like Mansfield and we look at its output gap, so how much worse does it perform than what, you know, theoretically we think it should be performing, the output gap in Mansfield is 24%. So it's 24% smaller than what our model would predict that it would be. That's a pretty big gap in percentage terms. If you look at Manchester, that output gap is 21%. So actually, it's a little bit smaller than what we see in Mansfield. So you might look at that and go, well, we should be trying to address what's going on in Mansfield in that case, shouldn't we? However, you know, those percentage differences don't tell you anything about the absolute difference that this translates into. So if you look at Mansfield, 24% underperformance is akin to about £1.2 billion. But if you compare that to Manchester, the output gap in Manchester in absolute terms is £15 billion. So that's around about, you know, 10 times larger than what we see in Mansfield. So that's going to affect 2.4 million people living in and around Manchester, whereas an improvement in Mansfield would probably affect around about 450,000 people. And that's probably been a little bit generous as well in terms of travel patterns into Mansfield. So the size of the prize here for making or trying to improve the performance of Manchester is much greater than Mansfield. And I think what this shows is that if we are going to level up, you know, we have to be making investments in big cities and we have to be dealing with this issue of the persistent underperformance of the majority of our big cities, but Manchester, Birmingham and Glasgow in particular, because getting that right is really going to make a huge difference to both sort of you know, the economy outside of the south of England, but also in terms of the scale of it, is going to be quite a big impact, as opposed to perhaps making smaller investments elsewhere.
And this reinforces the point about thinking about Greater Manchester or Greater Liverpool or Greater Leeds, Greater Birmingham, not just in their own localities, but actually in the national context.
Precisely. You know, this is not the case of just investing in Manchester to improve the performance of Manchester's economy for the benefit of its own residents, or indeed for the benefit of residents who live around Manchester too, although those two things are really, really important, particularly when you think about the towns debate in the latter instance. But the real crucial thing here from a national policymaker perspective is that, you know, the underperformance of Manchester and Birmingham and Glasgow in particular, you know, are dragging down the national economy. The national economy should be much bigger than what it is. You know, and on these rough calculations, if we look at the eight large cities that are underperforming, we're talking about, you know, £50 billion worth of lost output because of the underperformance of these places. And that's the way we need to think about this thing. That, you know, addressing this issue is not just a local issue, it's a national issue as well.
Okay, so let's turn to have a look at what needs to change in order to address this underperformance. So just take us, we know that these big cities are underperforming. What kind of explains that underperformance, and then what needs to change as a result?
Well, we need to be thinking, you know, in answering questions about levelling up generally, is that why do high-skilled, high-productive businesses locate where they do? And if you think about, you know, one that's going to go and stick its pin somewhere on the map of the UK, the big thing is going to be that it requires skilled workers, you know, to come and do the work to then produce the output to make the business profitable. And that's a big challenge I think a lot of cities outside of the south of England face, but our big cities in particular seem to have a big challenge with that, not necessarily just with graduates, but actually with a number of people that have no formal qualifications at all. So skills has got to be the key thing before we do anything else. You know, infrastructure tends to be quite attractive, but actually we need to deal with the skills point. So that will be around, we think, further education, or more money for further education colleges in particular, trying to get those people who have moved out of the formal education system re-engaged, trying to make them work ready, trying to improve their skills, trying to make them more productive, trying to make them more attractive employees to allow them getting on in the labour market, which brings benefits to them, but also to the local and national economy too. That said, we think transport is important. You know, it's not just about, you know, having more skilled people in a locality, it's about making sure that they can actually commute into the jobs that are available as well. So having a well-functioning transport system within a city region, rather than transport links between cities, it's about transport links within cities so people can make that daily commute, is important too. And work that we're about to produce shows that this is a particular issue for big cities especially. You know, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, and London too have challenges with their transport systems, and we should be making investments there. I think from a national government perspective too, you know, we tend to be quite space blind still in terms of how we direct national policies. There are some quarters that have said that big cities have had it too good, and actually we need to do less city policy and focus on smaller places. But actually, when you go through and look at the range of policies that have been put in place over the last 30 years, there have been some city-specific policies, but I can count them on one hand. Actually, I probably only need three fingers on one hand to be able to do so. And amongst the myriad of all the different things that we've done, like coalfield regeneration, coastal communities, etc., etc., etc. So I don't really buy that. And I think the real problem actually is not that we've had cities policy, but we haven't had enough cities policy to really deal with the big issues. Now, it is worth saying at this point that this isn't an argument for not investing in smaller places. You know, clearly we see from our own work just here that there is quite substantial underperformance in places like Mansfield, and we should be thinking about how we can try to address that, because there are still gains for the local and national economy to do it. However, an argument which says that big cities have had it too good and we should focus on small places is going to mean that the government would then be setting itself up to fail in its levelling up agenda. It is impossible for the government to level up without dealing with the chronic underperformance of our biggest cities outside of London.
So when we get the budget, the first budget of this new government in the middle of March the 11th, we would expect the issues around tackling the underperformance of our big cities to be front and centre of the government's agenda around levelling up. Is that right?
If it wants to achieve what it claims to be setting out to do, then it's going to have a good answer, or a good suite of policies at least, to tackle this issue of the underperformance of big cities. I mean, the underperformance of our largest cities is one of the largest economic problems that the UK economy faces, from a productivity perspective, from a prosperity perspective, from a cities and towns perspective as well.
Thanks, Paul. If you need more information, you can have a look at the briefing, which is available on our website, and we'll be keeping a close eye on the budget to see where big cities are prioritised or not. Thanks very much for listening.